Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for our sermon this morning comes from the epistle reading assigned for the first Sunday after Christmas, Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Today is not just New Year's Day, it is also the first Sunday after Christmas, and it is also the day when we commemorate the circumcision and name of Jesus. Circumcision is, of course, the rite by which a Jewish male becomes part of God's chosen people and becomes an heir of God's promises under the law. On the eighth day after a boy is born, his parents would present him to the priest for his circumcision. At the same time, the child would be given his name. So circumcision serves as a permanent physical reminder to this child that he has been set apart under the law as a member of God's chosen people. And so that makes today a pretty good time to talk about God's law, because after all, we are under God's law. In the epistle reading for the circumcision, Galatians 3, Paul begins, before faith came, we were held captive under the law. We are all under God's law. The law governs the entire universe, the laws of nature which keep the universe moving in proper order. After all, the law simply says how things work properly. God's law written on human hearts and guiding human actions as well keeps things moving in their proper order. Again, the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. Under the law, we are, the law written on hearts, we are kept in order. So this is why so many cultures have extremely similar legal codes. After all, you wouldn't expect people in America and Asia and Africa and Europe all to create the same legal code unless they had the same source, God's law written on human hearts. And so things like murder, things like theft and lying are all universally condemned. Things like loyalty, honor, and reverence for the divine are all universally applauded, again, under the law, which is written on human hearts and governs human actions. The conscience, which is in everyone, just about everyone, is God's law, which is written on our hearts to prevent gross outbursts of sin. And so in this way, the law isn't a bad thing. It keeps everything in order. That's what we would call the first use of the law, curbing gross outbursts of sin. But here's where it gets tricky. God's law must be followed in order to be righteous in God's eyes in a right relationship with him under the law. Under the old code, Leviticus 18, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. And again, Romans 2, Paul says, it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. And so, people are to keep God's law in order to be righteous before him. That is, to be in a right relationship with him. But unfortunately, while that's great in theory, it does not work so well in practice for us. After all, there is no one living who can keep God's law perfectly. Romans 3:23, Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no way for us to keep God's law perfectly in every waking moment, in all of our words, our thoughts, our deeds. There is no way for us to keep the law and be righteous under the law. After all, Paul says that in Galatians 3, that we were held captive under the law, imprisoned. And so because we are condemned and held captive by the law, God stepped in to do something about it. And so it was at the proper time, when the fullness of time had come, that God sent forth his Son and did something about our condemnation under the law. The conditions under the Roman Empire in Judea were ideal for the Messiah when Jesus was born. The Roman infrastructure provided a ready means for this message to be spread all through the known world. All of Europe, all of Asia connected, all of Africa connected together by Rome. Roman swords provided the political stability which allowed this message to flourish for centuries under Roman rule. And so it was at the proper time that God sent forth his Son to be born of a woman. And that is the key. Jesus was not some outsider, not like Superman. He is fully human. It is a human who steps in, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem us who are under the law. And Jesus was born under the law and fulfilled the law perfectly all his life. Jesus' parents fulfilled the law for him at his birth in his circumcision and name. On the 40th day after his birth, Jesus is presented in the temple at the proper time, along with all the proper sacrifices. During his earthly life, Jesus fulfills the law perfectly in all respects. Love the Lord your God and worship him only. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is the only one who could ever say he did both of those laws perfectly. And not only did Jesus fulfill the law actively for us, he also accepted on himself the law's punishment for us. The penalty for violating God's law is death. The wages of sin is death, and it is a death that each must die for themselves. But we can't bear to die that death, and so God's Son, Jesus, accepts that consequence, dies in our place to pay for our breaking of God's law. So because Jesus placed himself under the law and fulfilled it for us, we are no longer condemned under the law. The law's demands were all fulfilled by Christ. There is nothing left for us to do. There is no law left for us to fulfill that Christ did not fulfill for us. The law must be fulfilled by someone if it's not fulfilled by us, and the someone who did so is Christ. He took on himself the law and allowed that to count for us, that he fulfilled the law for our sake. So that means we are freed from the law's demands and we are freed from the law's punishment. The law demands death, but Christ died that death for us. Christ shed that blood for us. And so instead of death, we receive life. That doesn't mean that we are free to do whatever we want. Though we are no longer enslaved by the law, we are sons of God, and as sons, we serve God willingly. That's the key difference between a son and a slave. The slaves fear punishment. The sons serve because they love their father. And so we serve our loving Heavenly Father, not because we fear punishment, but because He loved us enough to sacrifice His Son for us. As we enter this new year, we talk a lot about how things change. Much of what happened last year is over, never to be seen again, even if it does leave a lasting effect on 2017. Things are going to be different this year. We want to move on to bigger and better things to come. And surprisingly, that also holds true in our faith. Now, don't misunderstand. God's word never passes away. God Himself remains the same, just, holy, loving, forgiving, but the way in which God brings us to Himself and makes us part of His chosen people changed with Jesus. It's no longer under the old law of circumcision that we are brought in to be His people. Circumcision as a rite of entry has been done away. In its place, in place of the law, we now have the gospel. This is what Jesus' circumcision does for us. It replaces the circumcision of the flesh with the rite that we will talk about next week, which is baptism. In other words, we become God's chosen people, heirs of the covenant alongside Jesus, not because of anything we do fulfilling the law, but because of what God does in us through the gospel. Happy New Year, and may God bless you as His child this year and always. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.